Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Bruce.
Well, welcome to Tuesday night here at Family Camp. And we're studying the great subject of believing. Let's take our Bibles and go to Romans chapter 10. Tonight I'd like to share with you on two kinds of godly believing. It is a part of being a human, in other words, it's very natural to believe. Basically, every human being believes. Isn't that true? I mean, I know there's certain types of disorders or there's certain things that little babies don't do, but basically, every human being believes. Now, what's of great significance is who you believe and what you believe. And certainly for us, we know that who we believe is God, and what we believe is what? His Word. So much of the Bible, it's a book of believing. It tells you the great things that happen when people believe God, and it also shows consequences when people don't believe God. We read some wonderful records this morning in both teen camp and the adult camp. But everybody believes something. It's quite human. In fact, we could call it human believing or natural believing because everybody believes something. In Romans chapter 10, it's something that all of us believe, all of us have done. It says in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. I don't know if we could look at any greater promise in the Bible than the promise of salvation, the promise of eternal life. And that promise is received by what? Believing. Now, we have all confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and we've all believed in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. When we did that, prior to receiving the gift of Holy Spirit, we were body and soul people. But we could believe. It's human. It's natural to believe. It's how someone becomes born again, is to believe this promise. What happened was, someone told you about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you received that information as being accurate, right? In other words, you agreed with it, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And also, someone told you about God having raised him from the dead. And you said, huh, I believe that. And because of that simple believing, the miracle of all miracles has occurred in our life. We have eternal life. We have Christ within us by simply believing God's word, by agreeing with this information received. And that is believing. Later in this same chapter, it says, verse 17, so then faith, believing, comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So believing is receiving information and then being persuaded, being assured, trusting that that information is right, that that information is accurate. And also, it can involve taking action upon that information. In fact, verse 9 has an action to take. What is it? To confess Jesus is Lord. The first part of this promise involves action for a human being to take, to confess him as Lord. The second part of believing that God has raised him from the dead, is there any action to take with that? No, it's just simply agreeing with that. Saying, yeah, I believe that. See, that's believing. And it's something that every human being, whether they've stopped to analyze it or not, every human being does with information received. Is you receive information and you decide whether you believe it or not. Now, we have made the decision that the information we're interested in, particularly here at Family Camp, is this Word of God. What God says, Now, the difference between this Word of God and all other information that you might receive is that this Word of God is absolutely reliable. It's absolutely trustworthy. This Word of God is right. When God says it, that settles it. As a result, believing what God says is so sure, it's so dependable, it's so trustworthy that God calls it a law. You know what it's called? The law of believing. If you've never seen it in the Bible, it's in Romans chapter 3, verse 27. It's called the law of faith. It's a law. Now, what is the law of believing? Well, the law of believing, very simply stated, is when you believe what God has said, you will receive what God has promised. What's the promise of this verse? Salvation. When you believe it, you get saved. Now, that's not true with all information, is it? There's a lot of things that are said that if you believe it, it doesn't necessarily result in receiving anything, or perhaps receiving a bunch of crap. There was a period of time where we taught the law of believing as pertaining to just about anything. That if you believe for something to happen, that it's going to happen. That's only true when you believe what God has promised, because God's word is reliable and trustworthy. I've used the example many times. There was a period of time where most of the Western world believed that the earth was flat. Was that good information to believe? No. Did all the people believing that the world was flat cause the world to kind of start squaring off at the corners? Or people to go fall off when they sailed out into the ocean? No. Because it wasn't right information. But when you believe God's word, it's right, it's trustworthy, it's dependable. It puts such a premium on getting God's word. As Bruce shared so wonderfully this morning, getting to know what's available, what God has promised. And again, as much as this book is a book of believing, it's also a book of promises. There are promises in this Word of God that address basically every category of human life. Now, how many of those promises do you know? I remember years ago, Carol and I were living in Southern California, and there were a number of people, for some reason, that were having difficulty getting pregnant. And I remember, I had forgotten about this, but I was looking through a file recently, and I remember just going to the scripture and finding many promises of, you know, fruitful, bearing women, you know, bringing forth children, God promising healthy babies. And I remember writing out this list and sending it to a bunch of people. Somebody reminded me recently that they had twins as a result. That's great. That's abundance, huh? There was another period of time back in California where we had a drought. I think it was 6 years. And some of us went to the scripture and dug out promises of rain. It's in the Word. God promises rain. So you find out what's available, and then you get your heart persuaded. Hey, this is right. You confess this is right. You believe what God has said, and God is faithful to bring His word to pass. That's so much of our lives, of our joy and privilege as sons of God, isn't it? It's just so wonderful. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So we've shared the, oftentimes in the Bible, in the New Testament, the word believing is translated faith, and that can be misleading, but it's the Greek word pistis. I was very familiar with that word prior to getting into the Bible because most everything that happened pissed us off. But I've learned it in a new context. But if you look at the word pistis, it means simply believing, to believe. But there's other related words that come from the same root that are kind of neat, like words like persuaded. You know, to believe, you need to get persuaded of the information, don't you? The word assured is related to believing. You're assured that what God has said is right. Have confidence in, or to be confident of, is related to believing. Trust, the word trust in the Bible is related to pistis, believing. To trust what God says. And then also related to it is the word obey. Which, if there's action given, like to confess, then to believe is to obey. These are things that, you know, we understand, but as we really just develop in our heart, then we get a more clear picture of believing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us." This is the next chapter of what we covered last night. Remember how the word came to Thessalonica? And as a result, what came from this word of God becoming living and real was believing, hope, and love. Well, here it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of" what? "God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Okay, what a tremendous truth. When you believe God's word, then God's word effectually works in your life. That's what we're after. We're not here just for, you know, head knowledge. You know, just to get your head full of a lot of scripture. So no. We're here so that we can get God's word and believe it, so that we can see God work. And the thing that I've seen in my life, the most exciting thing, the most rewarding thing, the best thing I've ever found in my life is seeing God work. That's what turns me on. There's a lot of things that turn me on, but that's what really turns me on. That is the great thing in life, is seeing God work. And boy, to do that, you got to get God's word and mix it with believing. Look at Luke chapter 8, please. What did Paul and Timothy and Silas come and do when they were in Thessalonica? It was they preached the word to them. They preached the scripture unto them. And those people received the scripture not as being the word of men, but as the word of God. And when they believed it, that word of God started working in their life. They start seeing those promises brought to pass. They saw it fulfilled. Throughout the Gospels, as well as throughout the Bible, there's so many records that all center around just this: people receiving the word, people hearing the word, mixing it with believing, and then great things happening. In Luke chapter 8, I'm in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 8 is a wonderful record. It says, this is the record of the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. And she heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. She heard about the power of his life and of his ministry. And she heard the word that he had been sharing. And she went and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus, verse 46, said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue or power has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy believing," thy pistis, "thy believing hath made thee whole. Go in" what? "Peace." See, what was it that allowed her to receive her healing? Believing. Then it goes on. There was a ruler of the synagogue who was informed in verse 49 that his daughter was dead. See, throughout this, people having great need, this woman having an issue of blood for 12 years, Now a man finding out that his daughter is dead. It says, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, verse 50, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be what? Made whole." Okay. Again, great promise given. And the way of receiving that promise is to what? Believe it. Follow through the record. She was raised from the dead. She was made whole. And boy, the Gospels, the whole Word of God contains just multiple records so that we can be inspired, so that we can be uplifted, so that our believing can be built to receive from God. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Verse 5, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and do what? Heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he what? Goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." Do we have anybody in here who's in the military? Do you understand this? When somebody tells you to go, what do you do? Go. Come. Right? Do this, do it. "When Jesus heard it, he marveled," verse 10, "and said unto them that followed him, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great believing, no, not in Israel." You know, it's interesting. It says here that Jesus marveled at this man's believing. The only other occasion in the Gospels where it talks about Jesus marveling was he marveled at people's unbelief. He marveled at this man's believing, and he marveled at people's unbelief. It might give you an indication of what he was looking for. Believing. It says, verse 13, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour." See, record after record after record of the Word of God being heard, the Word of God being received as right and true, people being persuaded, trusting that Word, and God bringing that promise to pass because of simple believing. Now, this is one type of biblical believing, and it's all throughout the Word, and it's something that we're all familiar with. But there's another type of biblical believing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Bruce did a wonderful job of laying a foundation to understand this morning. But what we've been looking at thus far, I would call human believing, or I'd call natural believing, as we saw, that it's part of being a human to believe. It's natural for human beings to believe information. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says in verse 7, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to do what? Profit with all." So every one of us that have the Spirit of God, every Christian, has the ability to manifest the Spirit. It's given to every man for profit. And then, very uniquely to the whole Bible, in verses 8, 9, and 10, is listed the nine manifestations. Three of them we've been operating at the beginning of every one of these fellowship gatherings, haven't we? We've been hearing speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. But of course, there's six others. One of them listed is in verse 9. "To another," referring to another prophet, "faith," That's the word pistis, or believing, to another believing by the same what? Spirit. This is not human believing or natural believing. This is believing that is a manifestation of the what? Spirit. All these manifestations are described in verse 11. It says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the man, wills. The word worketh is the word energeo, or it means are energized by the same Spirit. So all these nine manifestations, including the manifestation of believing, are energized by the gift of what? Holy Spirit. So this is not natural believing. This is supernatural believing. All the manifestations are supernatural. This is a manifestation of believing that is supernatural. It is from the Spirit, so therefore it's spiritual. You could say it's energized believing. Last year, many of you were here for our family camp, and we looked at the nine manifestations. That was our topic, and we studied them throughout the week. And after that, Bruce and I have continued to work through the material and attempt to understand it more fully. In fact, we taught it again last spring in Virginia. But as we've been working it through, I realized that of all the nine manifestations, the one that has been taught the least, that has probably been the least understood, is this particular manifestation, the manifestation of what? Believing. So I'm attempting to understand it, and what I've come to understand, I'm going to share with you tonight. The manifestation of believing is not the same believing as what we looked at previous, because that is human or natural believing. This is supernatural, spiritual believing that's energized by the Spirit of God. We've learned a lot already, haven't we? Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to learn later in the week about this whole context of 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, because our key verse, our theme verse, sits right in the middle of this wonderful section. It's all about the manifestations and the gifts of Holy Spirit. In verse 1 of chapter 13, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or the love of God, I am become a sounding brass or a tingling what? Symbol. Now when it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, what's that talking about? Speaking in tongues, a manifestation. Certainly fits in the context, right? Verse 2, and though I have prophecy, another one of the manifestations, and understand all mysteries and all, what? Knowledge. Now, to understand all mystery and all knowledge in the context is not just talking about human understanding or knowledge, it's talking about revelation, right? The context, speaking in tongues, prophecy, and then understand all mysteries and knowledge would be in the context of the revelation manifestations. And then it says, and though I have all faith. In the context, what kind of faith is this talking about? The manifestation of believing. And we know that for sure as we keep reading, because it says, and though I have all believing, so that I could remove mountains, and have not the love of God, I am nothing. Okay. So, we're going to build knowledge about the manifestation of believing. We've learned some things already. But this verse tells us that the manifestation of believing is the kind of believing that can remove mountains. This isn't talking about organizing caterpillars and dump trucks and you know, trying or, you know, TNT and blowing up and trying to move it. That no, this is talking about the miraculous moving of a mountain. Here it's tied to the manifestation of what? Believing. Now, with that in mind, look at Mark chapter 11. We had this morning. As Bruce so wonderfully shared, when you pray, for that prayer to be answered, it must be according to what? God's will. None of us have the right, none of us have the authority, none of us have the ability to just walk around and decide that we don't like a mountain over there and that we're going to move it. Praise God that is not within anyone's ability. To be able to remove mountains by the manifestation of believing requires revelation. We saw that rather clearly, didn't we, this morning? In Mark chapter 11, this is kind of like a scripture chain. This is kind of like a chain that builds up where things start tying together. Because we've seen that the manifestation of believing in 1 Corinthians 13:2 is tied to removing mountains. Okay, now, Mark chapter 11. This is a wonderful context. In verse 12, it says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry." Now, this doesn't mean he was starving to death. He just wanted a little snack, remember? "He was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was" what? "Not yet." Now this record in Mark 11 happened during the springtime. The climate that's in, you know, the Bible lands is very similar to California. We have, Carol and I have a fig tree in our backyard. None of us would go to a fig tree expecting ripe figs during the spring. They come in the fall. People knew that. But what this is, the cultural truth, is there were little edible buds that would come out on this type of fig tree, and that's what Jesus was looking for. He was looking for a little snack. He was looking for these little edible buds that came out in the springtime. And it said, "He found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it." Who's he talking to? Fig tree. "No man eats fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. Now this is like his disciples heard. Jesus is over there talking to the tree. You know, it's like scratching our head. What is he doing? You know? Okay, but he said to the tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." Now they go into Jerusalem, and then they come back out that day, spend the night again in Bethany. And then it says in verse 20, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the" what? "Roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away." Now, again, do any of us, by our human ability or any other authority in life, can we just walk around and go cursing trees? See, this had to, again, be by what? Revelation. Now, look at what Jesus Christ then does. It says, verse 22, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith," or "have believing in" who? God. Now, what's the context? There's this object lesson, if you will, of the cursing of the fig tree. The next day, it's withered, it's died from the roots up. It blows the mind of the disciples. Now, Jesus uses this as an occasion to teach them something. And what he's going to teach them on is believing. Now, as we read this, let me ask you a question. What kind of believing is he teaching to them? in verse 22, have faith or have believing in God. One translation, very simply, is believe God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this, what? Mountain. It comes up again. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he, what, saith. That's a manifestation of believing. This isn't something that just applies to anybody, anywhere, whatever you believe. This is dependent upon having received revelation. How did he curse the fig tree? By revelation. How do you cast a mountain into the sea? By revelation. What does it take? The manifestation of believing. And that's what he's teaching his disciples. In verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall, what? Have them. Again, in the context, this would have to be a prayer by, what? Revelation. In a few minutes, we're going to relook at that record of Elijah. But it says Elijah prayed for it not to rain, and then later he prayed for it to rain. What is that? That's prayer by revelation. See, the context here is not talking about human natural believing or what some people have called regular believing. It's talking about the manifestation of what? Believing. Look at Matthew 21, please. You know, there's a lot of things that we just simply go to God in prayer and ask him for. You know, God says, make your requests known. You know, he wants us to come to him and talk to him, to let him know the desires of our heart, to cast our cares upon him. But there's another situation where God tells you what to believe, where God tells you what to pray. And then you respond by praying to him by revelation. That's what Jesus Christ was teaching his followers in light of the cursed fig tree. Now, if that, you know, you're reading the Gospels, the life of Jesus Christ is rather astonishing, isn't it? I mean, just amazing. I mean, the things that happen, and then particularly the frequency with which they happen, wow, it just blows, I mean, you know, our hero. But if the cursing of the fig tree wasn't enough, how about this in Matthew chapter 21? It says in verse 17, he says, he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. Now, up to this point, you'd say, oh, this is an identical record to what we just read in Mark 11, right? Let's keep reading. And presently, you know what the word presently means? Immediately, the fig tree withered away, right there on the spot, boom. Twice. You know, first one was overnight. This one happened immediately. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? You know, the one before, oh, heck, that's 24 hours. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have believing. Again, what kind of believing? The manifestation of believing. And doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. Now I know that these verses that we've been looking at can and have been taught in the context of regular believing of promises of the Scripture. And they certainly have application to that. I'm not saying they don't. But if you read these verses in the context, in light of the additional information we've seen, starting in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, it's undeniable that this is talking about the manifestation of believing, and this prayer is prayer by revelation. Look at Matthew chapter 17. This is a record that does occur in two different Gospels. It occurs here in Matthew 17, and it also occurs in Mark 9. But this is where the man brought his possessed son unto Jesus. And this is prior to that, the disciples had tried to cast out the spirit and couldn't. And so they brought him to Jesus. Now, verse 16, the man said, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless, or O unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have believing as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this, what? Mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. From what we've seen, they needed the manifestation of believing to cast out this spirit. And to be able to operate the manifestation of believing, they needed revelation. It's interesting, in verse 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. It's not in many of the critical Greek texts, verse 21. Bruce and I have talked about this on a few different occasions, but there does seem to be some indication that some of the texts are kind of corrupted by this idea of fasting, because you know some people thought that you had to fast to become more spiritual, and so they tried to get it in a little bit. But this verse is not necessarily in the text. But the same record is in Mark chapter 9. Look at Mark chapter 9. In verse 28, it says, And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer. And then the text omits the words, and what? Fasting. So just stop and think what we've been looking at. This record is tied to the same believing that's necessary to remove mountains, according to Matthew 17. Here it's tied to prayer. Well, what kind of prayer? Prayer by revelation. With that in mind, let's take a look again at James chapter 5, which we looked at this morning. It says in verse 16, James chapter 5, Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be what? Healed. And then it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. These two words, effectual, fervent, are translated from one Greek word. And the one Greek word we had earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, it's the word energeo. So literally could be translated, the energized prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then there's an example given. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her what? Fruit. I would say from what we've seen that this energized prayer of a righteous man that avails much is a prayer by revelation that is tied to the manifestation of what? Believing. See what I meant about it? It's kind of like a scripture chain. You kind of follow it through and then one thing leads to another and you say, wow, huh, removing mountains. And you know, hey, there's some similarities here. Some similarities of prayer, but not prayer where you just simply go to your father and ask for something that might bless you, but a prayer that God has instructed you to pray. Elijah was instructed by God by revelation. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17. Says in verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite. Now, from my experience, usually your Tish is not some place you want to get bit, but okay, sorry. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my what? Word. Now here it's described as Elijah's word, but we know very clearly whose word was it? God's. According to God's word. See, this is the prayer that he prayed. It was according to God's word. It was a prayer by revelation. See, it was a prayer that resulted in an energized believing, the manifestation of believing. It goes on throughout this whole context. It says, the word of the Lord came unto him in verse 2. In verse 8, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this is revelation. This is he's doing it by revelation. Look at chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. See, it says that he prayed first for no rain, by revelation. And now he's going to pray for rain, again, verse 1, by revelation. See, that's the type of prayer that was described in Mark 11. A little different prayer than a lot of the prayer that God delights in that we want to pray every day to him. But this is prayer by revelation that he tells us what to pray, what to believe, the manifestation of believing. Towards the end of this record, as Bruce mentioned, these two chapters would be great if you get up in the morning and just want to read 1 Kings 17 and 18. It's real wonderful. But look at 1 Kings 18 in verse 36. This is after they've had the little confrontation between him and the 450 prophets of Baal. But in verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy what? Word. He did all this by revelation. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of what? Rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said unto his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. How many times? Seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Now, you know how you can understand this, is he's looking out to the sea, and there's a little cloud that arises. Remember, it hasn't rained for 3.5 years. But there arises a little cloud out on the horizon, and it's like a man's hand. In other words, if a man put his hand out and saw it, it would be like the size of his hand. You understand? See, it was that size. And it says, like a man's hand, and he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great, what, rain. Now, could Elijah do this by regular human believing? No. This is not natural. This is supernatural. This is by revelation. This is the manifestation of believing. Look at Acts chapter 27. I'll show you one more. Bless you. This is the record of Paul being transported as a prisoner to Rome, and he's put under the supervision of a Roman centurion and who hires a boat to get him to sail towards Rome. It says in verse 10 that Paul said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our, what, lives. Now, was Paul a real scholarly, educated sailor? Was that how he perceived this? Had he checked out all the Doppler weather patterns, and he had everything all figured out, that this was what was going to happen? No, he perceived by what? Revelation. God told him. Verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And that's so human, isn't it? This guy, being human, believed somebody that he thought was more credible. The owner and the master of the ship, instead of a prisoner. That's just natural. But the difference is the quality of the information that's being given. One of the things that we saw in that great record about Hezekiah this morning was how oftentimes the information that's being shared by the senses is the exact opposite of what God's Word says. This is an example of that. So as a result, the centurion and the master of the ship, they depart. If you've read the record, like it says, hurt, much damage, lading of the ship, it all occurs. But there's an additional information here. It says, and also of our, what, lives. Now, this is revelation, that if they perceive that they're all going to die. But look what happens in verse 21. It says, verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Don't you love that? Should have listened unto me. And not have loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and what? What had they gained by loosing from Crete? Harm and loss. That's not gain. Should have listened to me. Verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the, what, ship. So this is a change of the revelation. The original revelation is they were going to lose their lives. Here the revelation is no loss of any man's life among you, but we are going to lose the ship. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was, what, told me. This is believing the specific revelation given to Paul in this specific situation. In fact, it's even a different revelation than what was given to him to not have loosed from Crete. Now, Paul believed that. If you read to the end of the record, it says, after they lost the ship, after everything was shipwrecked, in verse 44 of Acts 27, it says, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, and it came to pass that they escaped all safe to where? Land. And when they were escaped, when they heard that the island was called Melita. So they were all brought safely to land according to the revelation that was given the Apostle Paul. I love that phrase because it just really so encapsulates this law of believing that we've been looking at all day today at Family Camp. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was, what, told me. Believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you get a promise of God in the Scripture, you can bank on it. You can believe it. And that promise is an exceeding great and precious promise that's available and applicable to all of us. But at times, God gives you specific revelation, specific guidance for specific situations, and He's given us the Spirit to energize believing so that that can be brought to pass supernaturally, the manifestation of believing. So what we've looked at tonight are two types of godly believing. One, the first one, which I called human believing or natural believing, where you believe what God's Word says, the Scripture, and God brings His Word to pass. And the other type of believing is supernatural believing, the manifestation of believing. That is the result of having received revelation, of believing it, and God bringing His Word to pass. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So, Heavenly Father, thanks for Your great Word and the treasures that are in it, for the wonderful way we can study it and continue to be blessed and see great things that You would have us to do and to believe. Father, we're real thankful for our precious promises that You've given us that we can just confidently be persuaded of and trust in. And Father, that we can take that word and know that You are faithful to bring it to pass. So Father, I pray that each one of us can continue to grow and build believing in our lives as we build the word, and Father, that we can continue to grow in our understanding and operation of the nine manifestations of Holy Spirit. So I pray for these things, and what a great day we've had here at camp, and we give You the praise and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Bruce?